Good morning, Himley Row Methodist. It is very, very good to be with you this morning. My name's Pete Royce, and as Karen said, I'm one of the pastors at Springs Church up the road, based at Zor these days. And I just want to say good morning, good friends. This is an awesome church. And I feel a bit emotional this morning. I always feel emotional, if I'm honest. Maybe it's to do with late night watching the football. I don't know. Maybe it's because I've had a coffee and I'm a little bit on caffeine, or I don't know what it is, but I think it's more to do with the fact that the Lord is good and he's so kind to us. And Himley Road Methodist has been an enormous support of Springs Church ever since we started 11 and a bit years ago. And so thank you, Himley Road. Thank you for your prayers, but also your partnership. There's a great number of people that serve alongside Springs, people at the community grocery store and at the community cafe. And Karen puts in an amazing shift so often each month with the youth work as well. And so I just want to say thank you. But also, I love the Methodist Church. I love the Methodist Church. I love the history of the Methodist Church. My degree was history. My dissertation was all about the social and political impact of the Wesleys. And I have a deep love and respect for the move of God that happened through the Methodist Church. And I love Zor Methodist. My auntie Kay got saved as a teenager in Zor Methodist Church. She was sat in the balcony when someone preached the word of God one night, and she gave her heart to Jesus. And then my own mum, she was Lynn Richards as a teenager, and she took her first steps of faith in Jesus at Five Ways Methodist. And so, yeah, she really came to faith in Christ at Five Ways and was a leader at the Girls Brigade for many, many years. And many of you all know Carol Rowe. My mum was Carol Rowe's Girls Brigade leader. How cool is that? And so I've got a lot of love for the Methodist circuit in these parts. And this morning I just want to praise the Lord together for what he's doing amongst us. I truly believe that our greatest days as a community of Gornalls is ahead of us, because God is the same yesterday, today and forever. And I don't know about you, but he seems to be adding to the number of believers constantly. Only a few weeks ago, we baptized two single mums who've just come to faith in Jesus. And one of the girls, Charlie, she's a single mum. She's got twin daughters. They're about 8 or 9 years old. And during her testimony, she was sharing the fact that before she met Jesus, life was just rolling along, quite difficult at times. And she described life as being very grey. And she said, I've come to faith in Jesus, and it's like life is just suddenly full colour. And she just can't stop praising the Lord. It's beautiful to observe. And that's just one life changed in amongst many lives that are being changed and transformed by the gospel in our days, in our community. Is that good news or what? And so, Himley Road, you're a good church. And listen, I'm one of those teacher preachers who, if you don't talk back to me, I start to get worried that you're bored, all right? And then I get bored of my own preaching and want to sit down. So if you can help me out this morning. So if you hear of anything that you think, do you know what? I've witnessed that in my life, amen. You can shout out an amen. Amen? That was pretty good. And so please help me this morning. Make this teacher a preacher, if you will. I wonder if you can work out what the theme of this morning's message is based on the following statements. I hope that you know today that there is a God in heaven who loves you. I hope you know that at creation, when God said, "Let there be light," he already had you and me on his mind. That's amazing, isn't it? I hope you know how much grace there is for you. I'm a church kid. I've grown up in church. And I reckon that I should be like basically nearly like Jesus already. Like, if you've grown up in church, sometimes you can have this guilt complex that you're not as far on in your faith as you ought to be. And it took me a long time, to the age of 38, to realize better the grace of God. The grace of God is available to us all. No matter how young or how old you are in the faith, we need the power and the grace of God. Amen. I hope you know that there is forgiveness for you today. I hope you know that the power of God is available. I hope you know just how open to relationship with you God is. I hope You know. Are you getting it this morning? I hope you know. Listen, Jesus said, now this is a word for somebody in the church today. Jesus said, he says, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink or what shall we wear? Your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. What is the word today? Hope. Hope, do not worry. I hope you know that when Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow, he had you in mind to hear those words. Don't worry about tomorrow. He wants you to hear these words. I hope you know that you're not alone. I hope you know that the Holy Spirit is here and with you. And if you profess faith in Jesus Christ, the scripture says that the Father sends the Holy Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Did you know you already have the Holy Spirit with you this morning? I hope you know that when you've been treated unfairly, there is justice with the Lord. Wait on him. I hope you know that there is opportunity for discipleship. There is obedience to step out in. There is a way of Jesus. There is a reforming of our hearts and our minds, a transforming. And Jesus himself will show us the way. I hope you know these things. Pete, we know all these things. We've been coming to Himley Road Methodist for 100 years. But I don't want to presume anyone knows anything this morning, because we needed something fresh from the Word. Is that okay? We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what will happen with the economy. We don't know how our careers might pan out. We don't know when the war with Iran will end. We don't know when the price of fuel will come down. We don't know, and I don't know if it's like this where you live, but I don't know when my food bin's getting collected. Honestly, 3 complaints in and they're still not, do you know? I want to be a good citizen and recycle, but what do you want a man to do if you ain't going to get me bin? I don't know who my kids are going to marry. I don't know how long I have to live. We don't know what the future holds, but we do know who holds the future. We have hope this morning. In a world of uncertainty, we can be certain about the certainty of God. So while everything else is going to the wall, we stand on the rock. We have a solid foundation. Are you excited about this morning, church? Yeah. The light of Jesus who loves us far outshines the darkness that surrounds us. The light of Jesus far outshines the darkness around us. I think the first scripture is coming on screen. You might have a bit of a workout today, Jeff. I haven't got the clicker, so you just follow me, bro. Jesus says this, Matthew 28. He says, surely, everyone say surely. Surely. Not maybe, not if. But surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We have a God who is for us and not against us and with us in every season. That is good news this morning. Amen. So our theme this morning, you've gathered, you're quite right, is the theme of hope. Hope. Can you just poke the person next to you and say, have hope. Take hope. Be of good hope. So when we're talking about hope, it's like, well, what does hope actually mean? I hope something might happen. I hope something might come to pass. Well, one dictionary puts it like this, that hope is the strong desire for something good to happen combined with a confident expectation of the thing being obtainable. Let's shorten that down. Let's make it simple. This morning, hope is confident expectation. Hope, when it comes to hope in God, is confident expectation. Hope with Jesus Christ is not wishful thinking. It's not hanging on by the skin of your teeth. Hope in Christ is confident expectation that God is who he says he is and he will do what he says he can do. Amen? Hope says that I can be the man of God, or ladies, the woman of God, that God is calling me, calling you to be. Why? Because he is with us. Hope says that I can be the healthy parent that God wants me to be because his character is shaping me. Hope says I can be the strong and supportive wife or husband that God is calling me to be, because when I experience his mercy and encouragement, perhaps I can offer mercy and encouragement too. Hope says that I can become strong in mind because his word says that his joy is my strength. Hope says that I can be an overcomer because Christ says I am more than a conqueror. Not just a getter on buyer, a more than conqueror. Wow. Hope says that I can go further, faster, stronger, deeper, kinder, making positive change. Why? Because the Spirit of the living God lives in every one of us who calls him Savior. Is that good news today? Hope says that my identity is no longer rooted in the family situation I grew up in. My identity is now in Jesus Christ, who is the making of me. My identity is not in the poverty or the wealth that I grew up in. My identity is in him who is my Father, the God of creation. And when we realize just how deeply we are his kids, we can start to live in a different way with a new mindset, full of hope, full of hope. Hope says, Himley Road Methodists, you can, because he is. You can, because he is. The opposite of hope, friends, is fear and despair. Have you ever been fearful in life?
I have.
Have you ever despaired in life? I have. The opposite of hope is fear and despair, but God says, and you will know this because you're a good church, in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, the scripture says this, do not fear. Why? Because I am. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This morning, church, we do not have to be a people of despair or fear. We can be a people of hope because he is the one who says, don't fear. I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. This isn't in my notes, right? But when I was a kid growing up on Lawnswood Road, technically Lower Gornal, but really Upper Gornal, right? Let's be honest. I don't know where I come from. All right, so when I was growing up on Lawnswood Road, one night there were a bunch of lads who wanted to beat me up and they were hiding at the top of the road. But I had this small, tough mate called Ryan Hoff, Hoffy to his mates, right? And Ryan Hoff and me had grown up kind of a few doors away from each other and I was completely unaware of the threat. The next day at school, Hoffy comes up to me and he goes, yo, Pete, he said a bunch of lads wanted to beat you up last night. I don't even know what I'd done, to be honest. I wanted to beat you up. He said, don't worry, I saw him off. How about that? Do not fear, because I am with you. My little mate had my back and I didn't even know it. How much more has God got your back when you don't know it? Amen. Do not fear. Let's be people of hope today. It's a funny little story. That just came from nowhere. See, faith, our faith in God, faith is not belief, by the way. Anyone can believe there's a God. Belief and faith are very different. Belief is, yeah, I think he exists. Faith in God is trusting in him. Going beyond simply believing and putting your trust in the God you believe in. But faith and hope are linked, you see. Because faith is, I trust in God, who is unchanging. And hope is, therefore, I can trust, I can have confident expectation in the God who is with me. The God that I trust in is going nowhere. I want to encourage you today that real hope is not an idea gifted us from the past. Hope is alive. This scripture is not coming up on screen, but it's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 onwards. You'll know this. It says this, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. Everyone say, living hope. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, never spoil, and never fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Do you know you're shielded by God's power this morning? Is this good news or what? This is scripture. This is Bible. This isn't me. This is God speaking to us today. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, we greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. But these have come so that your proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. I love this scripture. Listen to this. Though you've not seen him, you love him. Can anyone testify to that this morning? I've never seen Jesus in the flesh, but I know him. Amen. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Oh, friends, this morning, we can have hope. We can have confident expectation because he who started a good work in us is faithful to complete what he started. Listen, we do not have a dead hope this morning. We have a living hope. Hope that is alive. Hope that is breathing. Hope that has a heartbeat that cannot be stopped. We have a living hope because Jesus lives. We have a living hope because we stand to inherit everything God has for us. We have a living hope because our souls are shielded by God's power. We have a living hope because trials and tribulations and sufferings might be our present circumstance, but they're not our permanent destination. We have a hope this morning. Are you feeling hope rise up today? Oh God, I pray you are. We have a living hope that comes alongside us. We have a living hope that gives us strength to persevere. We have a living hope that delivers joy that we can't fully explain. We have a living hope that certifies our salvation. If you're in doubt as to whether you are destined for heaven or not, ask yourself this question. Do you trust in Jesus Christ? And if the answer is yes, let all fear melt away about the life to come. You are going to be with him forever. What a hope. What a hope. We have hope for today. If hope was personified, if hope was a person, hope is Jesus Christ. You want to look and see what hope is? Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Hope is not an idea. It is not wishful thinking. Hope is a person. His name is Jesus. I want to bring three encouragements this morning. Three encouragements that God put on my heart. The first encouragement is this, coming up on the screen, that hope in Christ secures our soul. Hope in Christ secures our soul. God promises security in him that is way deeper than surface level security. Where God is, let me declare, there is hope. Where God is, there is hope. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 19, it says these words. The Apostle Paul writes, he says, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. What's Paul saying? He's saying this faith, this trust we have in Christ is hope to us, the kind of hope that anchors our souls, keeps us safe and secure. And this anchor goes deeper than what is seen. It goes deep. What's the purpose of an anchor? We got any sailors in the room? No? No leisure cruisers in the room? What's the purpose of an anchor? Well, number one, an anchor brings stability to the ship. When the anchor is dropped and it reaches the seabed and grips onto a rock or grips into the seabed, it anchors the ship. It brings stability to the boat. Secondly, an anchor brings security. An anchor, when it's dropped, prevents unwanted movement too far. An anchor provides safety. It protects the ship from drifting into rocks it doesn't want to be hitting up against. An anchor allows for rest. Before the anchor's dropped, the sailors are having to keep watch on everything, but the moment the anchor is dropped, the sailors can have a bit of shut-eye, a bit of rest. We're going nowhere. The anchor is in place. And we have this hope in Christ as an anchor for our souls. Why do I need an anchor for my soul? Because when life tries to knock me off my feet, do I need stability? Yeah. Do you need stability? Yeah. Why do you need an anchor for your soul? Why do you need the hope of God? Because when circumstances of life shake us to our core, we need to know the security of God. Amen. When temptations come to shipwreck our journey, we need protection from drifting. We need the hope of God as an anchor for our soul, because when life's journey takes its toll, there are times where we need to come to Him who loves us, the anchor of our souls, and we just receive rest and restoration. I am so glad that God is permanent and that in Him we have hope that is like an anchor for our souls. Are you catching that vision this morning? Is He an anchor for your soul today? You know, if you could speak to the Apostle Paul, the guy who wrote that scripture, we have this hope as an anchor for our soul. You could say, so Paul, like, why have you needed Jesus to be an anchor for your soul? And he'd tell you, listen, I have been stoned with bricks. Not that. I have been stoned. People have tried to kill me. 3 times I have been physically shipwrecked. The anchor didn't work. 5 separate times I've been flogged. I've been thrown into prison. I've been hungry. I've lived in freezing cold conditions. I've been in constant danger from robbers and religious political opponents. But all the way through, God has sustained me. He's been an anchor for my souls. I can't wait to have some conversations with some of these saints. But here's Paul facing all of these afflictions, and he writes, but God is an anchor for my soul. Number 2, hope in Christ heals our heart. Hope in Christ heals our heart. There's a scripture, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. And it says this, it says, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. Hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. Hope postponed makes me unstable. Hope suspended leaves me in anxious suspense. Hope withheld keeps me away from peace. The proverb says, hope deferred, thrown away, makes the heart sick. When the things we hope for, the breakthroughs we need, the healing we need, the answers to prayer that seem far off, we can feel the temptation to abandon our hope in Christ. But the scripture says, don't do that. In the toughest of trials, now's the time to hang on to the hope of God. Circumstances might be suffering, but your heart and stability does not need to be sick. Hold on to Him who loves you. In the scriptures, in the Old Testament, the heart, the word heart in Hebrew is libid. And in the Greek, it's cardia, where we get the idea of cardiac from. And in both of the definitions, either Hebrew or Greek, our heart is the seat of our emotions, where our personality flows from. The heart is where our ambitions flow from. The heart is where our appetites flow from. And sometimes our emotions can get a little bit crazy. Have you noticed that in life? Sometimes our ambitions can seem to be far off or unachievable or maybe even immoral. Sometimes the things that we hunger for, we're just not getting satisfied. We're just not getting filled. The scripture says, hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. In other words, hope that is thrown away means that our emotions can get all over the place, means that our ambitions can lose their way, means that the things we're hungry for in life can get a little bit crazy. But if we keep our hope in Christ, our hearts are not getting sick. Are you with me this morning, church? We hold on to the hope who is Jesus Christ. The postponement of confident expectation in God only results in our inner self becoming weak. And so if hope is confident expectation and we're to hold on to it, what is the scripture saying? You hold on to hope, you're going to have stability. You're going to have security. You're going to have confident expectation. Perhaps the word to some of us today is this. Return to hope. Return to hope. Is your heart hurting today? I'm 42, so I've lived a little bit of life. Not as much as some people. No. But I've lived an entire generation there. And I've got to tell you that life is absolutely beautiful, but life is super painful too. And I don't know your story and you don't know mine. But I am so glad that the scripture says, Psalm 9:18, God will never forget the needy. The hope of the afflicted will never perish. If you feel afflicted this morning, Jesus is going nowhere. Your ultimate hope is not removed from you. Be encouraged. Psalm 33 verse 20 says, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Do you need help this morning? Do you need the shield, the presence of God this morning? Psalm 31 verse 24. Psalm 31 verse 24 says, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart, all of you who hope in the Lord. Himley Road, five ways. Zor, all of us in today. Springs, all of us in together. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. He will strengthen our hearts for all of us who hope in him. Are you with me this morning? The day Jesus died for the disciples was like a day where hope had died. Can you imagine following Jesus for 3 years and then you see your Messiah nailed to a cross? Hope died in their hearts in that moment. 3 days later, the hope of the world rises again. Hope is not dead. Hope is alive now and forever. And you're catching this morning. Hope is alive. And I want to encourage you, if you have a sense that hope has died for you, if Jesus Christ, the hope of the world, raised from death to life, so can your hope raise from death to life. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. I think it's on the screen. There you go. It says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Pete, I'm in my 80s. I'm not going to go running. All right, I get your point. But here's the point. Whoever, whatever age, at whatever place in your faith journey you are, the Lord can raise you up. This is not about physical running. This is about the strength of our hearts and our souls. Thank you, Jesus. Do you not know? Have you not heard? He's the everlasting God. Come on now. Number three, hope in Christ seals our destiny. Hope in Christ seals our destiny. When a government document is written, it has an official seal on it. If it has been stamped with a seal, it has been stamped with authority. I do not stamp this idea of hope in my own authority this morning. I deliver this message with the authority of the Word of God that says he is the hope of the world. And then he says this, 1 Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, Christ in you, the what? Hope of glory. Wait, Christ up in heaven, sitting, waiting to return? No, Christ in you, the hope of glory. What's he talking about? This word glory means the visible splendor, the divine majesty, the radiance, the exaltation and honor of God. It means a bit more than that as well. Christ in you, we get to participate with God in this life and forever. What does this mean? What is Paul saying? Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's saying, Christ in you. Where is Christ? What did the scripture say? The Father sends the Spirit of his Son into our hearts so that we can know we're children of God. Where is the Holy Spirit right now? He's in all of us who say we believe and trust in Jesus. Are you getting it this morning? The presence of God is with you. Hope is confident expectation. Glory, the certain future of sharing in God's radiant life. So let's just like paraphrase that scripture, shall we? Let's make it a bit more gornal. Because Christ lives in us, you are guaranteed future of divine glory with him. Just as Christ was raised and glorified, believers will share in that destiny too. We believe as Christians that we too will be resurrected and be given a glorious new body and be with him forever. Christ in us, in other words, the confident expectation of the fact that one day we will see God in heaven in all of his glory and share in his life forever. Is there anything better than that? My goodness. 1 Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 to 28, a little more fully. It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm struggling to see where God is working in my life, sometimes I find it helpful to talk with other people who are following Jesus and listen to their stories, listen to their testimonies. We get hope restored also when we talk with people who have waited for miracles and then seen them come to pass. Because their story gives us hope for our story. Does that make sense? Observing the work of Christ in one another builds up hope. What about people who never got their miracle, but carried on in the faith and carried on steadfastly? That gives me hope. There's been plenty of things I've prayed for in my life, miracles I've prayed for, and they haven't come to pass. But the choice is, well, do I walk away because I haven't seen the miracle that I wanted? Or do I continue trusting that the God of miracles knows there's a better way? There have been days where I've wondered whether all the hard work for the gospel is worth it, and then you see suddenly the work of God again, and you go, okay, Lord, you are real, you are true, you are still working. Church, we live with the hope of eternity. We live with the hope of Christ on the inside of us. We live with the hope of the world. He is all around us. We live with the evidence of our hope, Jesus, all around us. Just throw your hand up if you love Jesus this morning. Take a look around. Hands up all across the room. You don't love someone for no reason. You fall in love with someone because you recognize their character and you put your trust in what they did. Like, all of those hands represent so many lives that have come to believe that Jesus really is who he says he is. And so can I ask you this morning, as I bring this message to an end, where is Christ for you today? Where is Christ for us today? Is he in your heart? Are you in church this morning? You might have been to church many, many, many times over many years, but never confronted yourself with the question, actually, is Christ in my heart? Christ's in my interest. Christ's in my church attendance, but is he in my heart? Where is Christ for you today? Is he your savior today? Have you come to a point where you recognize that you are very good but not perfect? Have you ever confronted the fact that my sin kept me separate from God, but he has made a way, the sacrifice on the cross of Jesus? He's forgiven me of sin. Have you ever come to recognize, Lord, wash away my sin? Where is Jesus today? Is he your hope? My friends, Jesus is our hope, and today he can be our hope. Heaven is open to us, but closed to sin. So let's allow the Lord to forgive us, restore hope in us, so that we can walk through that open invitation. Amen. Christ is our hope. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Father, we thank you this morning that you are not distant, but you are in fact very, very close. Father, thank you that you sent your son to die on the cross for us, to take away the hopeless stuff in us, sin, to restore the loving hope of God in us and for us. And Lord, we gladly hold on to your hope today. Father, for my friends, my brothers and sisters here, God, where there is hearts that are shaken today, Father, I pray that your hope would become the anchor for our souls in a real way today. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.